Well, let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can study your word once again. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless this time. We pray that you will continue to guide us in all that we do. And we pray that you will enlighten us to your word. We pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to be able to have a better understanding of the things that we are reading from Ecclesiastes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we are going to take up the next passage in Ecclesiastes. And this time it is about, the works of God. Sometimes we can have a wrong, defective understanding of God. Okay? Now, someone was asking me, how do you know that there are times when what Solomon is writing is correct and other times it's a bit defective or wrong? Right? There are times when we see, okay, this is good. Sometimes he writes and it's not good. Okay? Well, that's something that we can determine along the way. Okay? Now, let's take a look. So, we've been talking about learning from the past, but not living in the past, but living the past, or rather, sorry, not living in the past. Using whatever we have learned to make the present better, having prudence to use our money, making wisdom and money a defense in times of difficulties, and seeking excellence of knowledge to make wise decisions. Okay, so that was what we dealt with 2 weeks ago. Hey, by the way, next week, no YAG, okay? Saturday before our anniversary. And then, once we go into September, a lot of weddings. We'll see how. We'll probably carry on, but we will see the extent of people who will be involved in all the different weddings. Okay? Sometimes if YAG2, a lot of them are involved, then we will just cancel it. Okay, now we come to chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other. Now, let's try to understand this. Consider the work of God. And sometimes Solomon's view on the works of God, so he said, okay, this is something that he has carefully considered. He has thought through it. And then he says here, nobody can straighten what God has made crooked. Okay? Now, the word crooked, what do you think the word crooked is? According to my notes, it's a person who is perverse, right? Sinful. But how do you know is that? How you know that that's what he's referring to? That's the idea of crooked? How you know it's not talking about, oh, if the tree or a branch is crooked, it cannot be made straight? Or something that is inanimate is crooked, it cannot be made straight. So how you know it's being perverse? It is being twisted, bent in his ways. How do we know that God, who has made people crooked, cannot be straightened? Okay, so how did I come up with this idea that is actually crooked, meaning perverse? Because if you search the whole Old Testament, the word crooked actually means perverse. There's no other way it's being used. Okay, like for example, if you turn to Deuteronomy 32. So you turn to Deuteronomy 32. And in verse 5. 32 and verse 5, we read, They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Ah, can you see? So the word, you have to see the word in how it's being used in the Old Testament. Okay, and the word crooked, most of the time when it's used, refers to the idea of being perverse. Okay, or twisted, or sinful. Right? Okay, another passage we can turn to is Proverbs 2 and verse 15. Of course, this is closer to home because he wrote the Proverbs, most of the Proverbs. Now, Proverbs 2 and in verse 15, whose ways are crooked, who are devious in their path. Okay? Right? So we are convinced the word crooked means perverse, twisted, devious. Okay, so now let's talk about this statement. This statement that Solomon made. He said that once something, when God made something crooked, it cannot be straightened. So if God makes someone perverse, it cannot be straightened. Is it true? Hi, come. Is that a true statement? Because that's what Solomon said, right? He said that who can make straight what he has made crooked? Is it true? Not true? What do you think? Why did he make such a statement? So he must have observed, right? He must have observed in life. These are all observations, all experiences that he has. And so he sees, okay, here is a very perverse person. And he realized, because of that, he says, okay, you know, once a person is perverse, he will remain perverse. He will not change. So God must have made this person perverse, and he's crooked, and you know what? The person can never change. Is that true? Okay, why is it not true? You're right. Obviously, isn't it? God doesn't make people perverse. Right? God made man in his image. It is man who became perverse and crooked. Correct? So that is something that we disagree with reference to Solomon's observation. Now, so he says also in the day of prosperity, so like, okay, for example, there's this argument today that people are born gay. Have you come across this argument? There's this gay gene. You know, they say that it's genetics. Right? There's this so-called gay gene or something like that. So people have been looking for this idea of a gay gene. But is it true? No. You study genetics? Any of you study genetics? No, huh? So there's no such thing. Okay, maybe let's ask the doctor, future doctor. Is there such thing as a gay gene? No, right? Huh? So they came out with a study about the human genome. Right? They studied all the parts of a human genome and so on. And a lot of the, you know, LGBT people were hoping that they will find a gay gene. That a person is born with this in, and you know what? There's no such thing as a gay gene. Right? There are some people say, oh, you know, you are born psychotic. You are born with this ability to kill that is inherent within you. So these are all the serial killers. Right? It's inherent within a person to want to kill. And my answer is no. Okay? That's not true at all. And so a person is not... made crooked, or rather, he is born with sin, but he is not made crooked. Okay, now, in the day of prosperity, God is the one who brings about the day of prosperity. The person should be joyful in the day of prosperity, in the day of adversity. He also see this as from God. He has to be careful to consider what God is doing. Surely God has appointed these days. Okay, again, is this true or false? True or false? God has appointed the day of prosperity. Yes? No? In the day of... Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other. True? False? What do you think? Yes.
Can you clarify what is appointed?
Appointed means that God planned it as such. Plan, that means it's like fate. You know, God, you got no choice. You have to go through all these days of that all the adversity, all the prosperity is all from God. You got no choice. That means you have no choice about going through the difficulties of life. It's appointed by Him. All the problems, all the difficulties, it all comes from God. Is it true? Yes? No? What do you think? Correct or not? Prosperity, is it from God or is it not from God? Anybody want to try? What do you think, Audrey? Prosperity, is it from God? I mean, we always ask God, God bless us, you know, be with us. And then God bless us, prospers the work of our hands. Yes? No? You cannot say.
Everything is given.
Huh?
Everything in this on this earth is given by the Lord.
Okay, everything is given by the Lord.
Being appointed by Him. I think it's not that He appoints, but rather He allows.
Okay. So He doesn't bring adversity in our life? What do you think? Okay, but does God allow adversity to come?
Yeah.
Or rather, does He appoint adversity to come?
Along that lines, then, I guess you could say yes.
What lines?
That He allows.
Allow, appoint, what's the difference? Is there a difference?
Okay, I'm just going to say yes.
Okay, anybody else? Let's discuss.
I think I agree, like, in terms of... Because I think sometimes man is, like, responsible for, like... Like, there are certain things that come out as, like, consequences of your own actions. And
sure.
I guess God allows that to happen.
Like, yep.
Then...
So, actually, some adversity, you bring it upon yourself. Right? It is actually not from God. You actually bring it upon yourself. Okay.
But God still uses it, like, for good. Yeah.
Sure. Sure, he will turn things around for us if we include faith. Okay, but what else? How do we see this idea of adversity? So it's just between us, God, our own fault, and perhaps times when God brings upon adversity upon us. Is that all? So you look at Solomon, what's the problem that he's actually having? He's making all this observation, right? He's making a lot of observation. He's making so-called wise saying statements. He's telling us, okay, this is how we should see life. It is his perspective of life. But what is his problem? What is the root problem that he's having? And this is also relation with the idea that God has appointed a person to be made a person crooked and he will always remain crooked. What is his problem? If you were to analyze his statements, hey, amen. Come on. Beth, you want to say something? Go ahead.
I guess he's blaming God for everything that's bad and not taking accountability for, like, if it's his own sin.
Okay, so what's the problem with that? You say that he is not taking accountability for himself. He's just blaming everything on God. What's the problem? What's the root problem? Which is very important for us to understand, because sometimes we make statements, sometimes the way we think about life is because of this issue. Which I'm trying to get you all to understand. So what is the issue? What's the issue at hand? Sorry?
I would say pride.
Okay, pride, but there's a deeper problem. What's the deeper problem? Anybody? Guys? Oh, Matthias. He looks enlightened. Is that a look of enlightenment or a look of blur? I don't know what to say. Confusion. Sorry, say that again. Okay. Yeah. But what's that? Why would someone just say that? You want to say something? Yeah. Yeah, obviously. Obviously, he is observing life, right? Okay, so he's making all this observation. He sees, you know, is it on? It was off just now. Throughout all your... Oh, okay. Never mind, I just leave it on. Yeah. Karen, ask the question again.
So is he talking about other people or does he identify as a crooked person himself?
Himself? So he's making observations of people, right? I don't know whether he's referring to himself, but obviously he's making observations about others. Or he's experiencing people in his life, okay, who are crooked. I'm sure as a king, he has come across many people who are crooked. And perhaps he has seen a person who is crooked and he continues to be crooked no matter what. Right? So what's the root problem? When you make observations when you make build for yourself or make for yourself perspectives of life, and sometimes it's wrong. And you make observations or you know, your view of God and involved in all these things, and then you end up with error. Why? Sorry? What truth? Truth about what?
His observations aren't grounded in biblical truth. It's just what he thinks.
Truth about what?
Life.
More than just life.
God.
God. So his problem is that his theology of God is not totally right. You see the problem here? You see, a lot of times people make observations about things, about life, and I think many of y'all sometimes struggle with this as well. Sometimes you come up with the way you look at life, it includes God, but it's not proper theology. So the problem is that, the root problem is his theology of God, not totally sound. See, the moment you have this problem, your conclusion, the way you look at life, the way you go through life, it's going to be affected. Can you see? So his problem is that he has not... So Solomon, he's not a person who is really into theology. He's making a lot of observations about life. He has some theology of God, but he doesn't have a complete understanding of God. And so along the way, he's making all these assumptions, he's making all these observations, and he's coming up with wrong conclusions. Can you see that? And that is something that sometimes can affect us as we go through life. See, many of you are still trying to sort out a lot of things in your life. You know, working well, you have some understanding of God, but sometimes your theology of God is not totally sound yet. And it still affects the way you think, the way you look at life. Okay, so once you... So, okay, what else? As you look at him, what else do you see? So he has a defective theology of God. It's not totally sound. Now, what else, as you look at Solomon's understanding of the works of God? So he's looking at the works of God. What else is he doing? What else is, as he comes up with all these conclusions? Sorry? Okay. Yeah, so he's trying to tell people, okay, this is what man is doing, right? But what is wrong in the way he comes up with his conclusion? What else is wrong? Rehan, what do you think? Before you drink. When a person concludes and he comes up with error, what is the problem with that? Anybody? Sil? Debbie. Yeah, go ahead.
Is
yeah?
it that he's overstating?
He's what?
Overstating or oversimplifying the matter. So.
And what do you call that?
Drawing conclusions too fast.
Okay, but what do you, what is it? What is the, what's wrong with his process? It is? Anybody? So his problem is that he is having subjective reasoning. Subjective reasoning meaning it is his own personal way of thinking. Subjective. He's not objective about it. So once you have a not a proper sound theology of God, your reasoning is going to be affected. It becomes subjective. Right? And sometimes our reasoning is also subjective. It's very personal. Okay? Yeah.
Wouldn't all of this be down to like pride? Because it seems like he thinks he knows,
partly,
he knows God. He thinks he
yeah,
knows it
partly.
All. And he surely jumps to a conclusion.
Sure.
So can we see, is the root, really the root problem is pride, like on top of all this?
So the whole thing is not based just on pride. Right? Pride as in he probably things he understands and be able to make such conclusions. But I think the main root problem is his old theology of God. He's not a deep thinker when it comes to God. He has not worked out everything with reference to God. Right? And because of that, based on what he has seen, he takes pride in his reasoning. You follow? But pride is not the root problem. His root problem is that he doesn't have the theology, the proper theology of God. Theology means the science of God, the system of understanding with reference to God. That's theology, right? Biology, theo means God, logy means science, right? Biology, the science of a human body. Hermeneutology means the science of sin. The whole idea of what sin is like. Okay? I was asking my godson, Ashton. He's taking his O-levels. And I sent him, how's your paper? He said, okay lah. Then he asked me, so I asked him, what's the hardest question you had to answer? He said, oh, the hardest question was, how do we know that source B is similar to source C? Now, of course, I don't know what that means. So I asked him, what does that mean? What's source C and what's source B? And I told him, that sounds like, you know, distinguishing between two types of sources, S-A-U-C-S. And then he laughed. Laughing out loud or something like that. I just wanted to joke with him. But apparently there's a picture, right? So the source C is a... source C. It's a picture and then how it's related. Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, I was just communicating with him. So here, coming back to the idea, is that a lot of times people end up with a subjective reasoning. And you want to look out for that, because a lot of times we end up with subjective reasoning based on our limited theology of God. Can you see that? Okay, then there's a third issue. Okay, does that answer your question? So pride perhaps is part of it, because he you know emphasize a lot on how he thinks, partly is because he knows that he's the wisest, so-called wisest man in the world then. But because of that, perhaps he also has a very, very, you know, he's not really into understanding God. Because he really thinks, okay, I come to a certain stage. So his root problem to me is still his lack of depth in understanding of God. A lot of times people, when they have a lack of understanding of God, they always come up with a wrong conclusion of God. And then you end up with a subjective reasoning. Okay, and then you have a third problem. What's the third problem? This experience. You base your understanding on experience. What you go through. Right? And so you go through something and you bring God into the picture and then you think, okay, God is like that. But actually, God is far greater. Far more gracious, far more merciful, far more. But because of your limited experience with subjective reasoning and your limited understanding of God, you end up with wrong conclusion of God. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
The different services. Because like someone will just, someone will go up and then share an experience and then bring God in.
Yeah.
So like, how do you distinguish that from what you've just shared? Yeah.
The difference is when you go up and share. Okay, like for example, next week at the anniversary, we're going to receive a booklet. And within the booklet, there are four testimonies. Uncle Kevin, Auntie Ling, Uncle Beng Ho, and Auntie Christina. Four wonderful testimonies of what they have gone through. Okay? How do you know that what they say is not based on this? It's because Pastor vets it. He is the one who sees whether it is right or whether... That's why constantly whenever you share, it has to be vetted. Why? Because we don't want you to end up with the wrong theology at this stage. I mean, till today, my messages, whatever, still goes through Pastor. Every single thing that I share, even today. So when we share, when you go up and share, it is a vetted idea. It's not just your personal idea. We vet your theology of God, that He has to be right. And there are times when people write, and sometimes it's wrong, it's off. You have to guide them and help them see where's the right thing. So very often, when whatever you are sharing, when you go out and share, you all have a limited understanding of theology. But you're only sharing one aspect of God. Say, for example, work, experience. Like, okay, you just shared about your experience in serving, the two of you. Right? Eh, no, sorry, not you. What's his name? Brian. Eh? Brian. Okay, Ryan. Two of you. Both same height. Right? And you brought in God too. Part of the picture. Correct? But it's not something that you were left alone to share. It was something that was vetted, someone that guided you, and you shared one part of the theology of God, which was right. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so, then carrying on from that, like if the only way that we can tell is through like vetting, then... we also share in other avenues, like with friends, like online or like fellowship.
Yeah.
Then, like, how can we be sure that we are not?
We can't. That's the problem. That's why I'm teaching you all this lesson. Then is a problem. Sometimes, I remember when I was 27, 28, right? And I became a pastor, a student pastor. Wow, I used to share this, used to share that. And last time, during that time, there was this very famous musical called Joseph. And there was this song, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Right? So this was a very, it's called Dreamer. It was a very old musical. Very, very, very powerful. You know the song, If He Carried the Weight of the World? You know that song? What's the title of the song? Sorry? He Will Carry You. That song was the most powerful song in the whole musical in early 1980s. It was a very, very powerful musical that all the Christian churches, everybody was very, very moved by. Okay? And that song was a very, very powerful song then. Okay? And one of the songs they sang was, when God closes a door, he opens a window. So after a while, is that true? You end up with what we call anecdotal kind of understanding of God. Is that true? So we used to share, you know, God, when God closes the door, you share with people. And why? When I became a student pastor, I realized that a lot of things that I understood was wrong. And I had to be corrected. I don't for one moment here, as I see all of you, that your theology of God is all sound and settled. I think there are still things that you have to work out for yourself. Sure, we may have general understanding. You may have some understanding of God. But as you go through life, as you work things out, you realize that sometimes you can end up with subjective reasoning. Because it's you. Right? Sometimes we end up with a limited understanding of God. Because God, there's so much more to understand of God. You ask me, what have I understood of God the last 30 years since I became a student pastor? I tell you, I've learned so much more about God. And the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the problem. The problem is that sometimes when we have a limited theology of God, when we do not actively seek to understand God further, you know, we end up having a limited understanding. Sometimes after a while, sometimes God can be formulaic. It's like a formula. If you do these things, 1, 2, 3, okay, that's how God's going to work. Sorry?
If you're saying that, like, we cannot be sure, like, for us when we talk to our friends, right?
Yeah.
Then, like...
Okay, so when I say that... No, so when I say that... So you're saying, should we still share?
As in, like, then... Yeah, like, yeah. If you're not sure, then how do we resolve that?
So to be sure about what you're sharing is make sure that what you share are things that is preached and taught from the Word of God. You follow? If you want to share something that has been taught. Something that you learn. Not just something you figure out on your own. Or experience. Or deduce on your own. That's the difference. You can share, of course, definitely. And we must share. But share those things that you are certain about. That you know that it has been taught, it has been worked out for you, and you can pass this on to others. Truth. But if you have not worked it out, and you share something that you read, okay, like for example, okay, last week at Sunday school, someone shared this quote from John Piper. A lot of people like to quote John Piper. And the first statement straight away, I disagree. His statement is, singing is rooted in suffering. That's what he said. And of course, he goes on to explain about Jesus suffering. Fine, sure. But let me ask you, is it true or not that singing to God praises is rooted in suffering? No, it's not. Obviously, it's not. Because singing praises have many ways of doing it. It can be you look at creation and you respond to creation. That's not suffering. You praise God for who He is, not suffering. Right? It can be, okay, God has blessed your life. That's not suffering. So sometimes when people come out with statements like that, I am very... So straight away in my Sunday school class, I told the ladies in my class, what is wrong with the statement? Just for them to understand, or straight away, okay. Then you can see it's not right.
Yeah, I mean, I think some are like quite patently clear that it's like not yes. right. But then I think they're also like grayish.
Like?
Yes.
Give me a statement.
As in like, even phrases from songs. Like you were saying like the song He Will Carry You.
Yeah.
Carry the weight of the world on His shoulders. Like I'm sure He will carry you, right? Then how far can you like... Yeah, I mean, that's a subjective thought because that's not from... I guess that the wording, the exact wording is not from
scripture. From scripture,
so,
sure.
So like how far can you stretch this... Yeah, like this idea of things...
Yeah, so if you really want to really understand it, did the Lord Jesus carry the weight of the sins of the world? Yes, He did. So to that point, yes, we understand. And does the Lord Jesus, you know, if we really understand the concept, does He carry our sins as well? The burdens of our sins? My answer is, well, yes, He does. He does carry the guilt of all our sins. You know, He died on the cross for us. All the sins of mankind was upon Him. Right? To that extent, yes. But so that's why you got to work it out. How to see all these things. Okay, so my point is that have you worked out your own theology of God? And you know, there are so many branches of theology. There's theology of the Holy Spirit, there's theology of God, there's the theology of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's theology of evangelism, there's theology of the second coming of Christ, there's theology of the Word of God, there's theology of evangelism. There's so many branches of theology. And I can tell you, you have not worked out everything. So my challenge today, you know, is to really, really keep working at it. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot share. I think we should. I think we should try to encourage as many people. But along the way, be very careful that we don't end up with subjective reasoning or anecdotal kind of reasoning. Right? We want to make sure that what we share, we have to back it up with the Word of God. Because we can end up with, oh, you know, whatever is crooked will always remain crooked. It's a general sweeping statement which is totally not true. Does God give us a point prosperity for us? And my answer is yes. So that part is yes. Does He appoint? Yes. He can bless some more, some less. Some of us are born in richer families, some of us less. That's fine. It's God's choice to appoint whom He wants to make richer someone. But then along the way, can a poor person become rich like Mr. Chan Jun Sing? Chan Jun Sing came from a poor family. He's also a Christian, right? If I'm not wrong. Okay, anyway, he's also a Christian. That's what I heard. Right? But he has done well in his life. And today, he's a good minister of education. Yes? Oh, he moved already. It used to be lah. Don't know. Yeah, used to be. But is he good? Was he good? Okay. Okay, I want to be politically correct. And who's the Minister of Education now? Desmond. Is he good? Don't know yet. Yeah. Okay, raise all the questions you want. Really. Yeah, raise all the questions you want.
Pastor Mitch, can I ask, what makes something subjective and objective?
Okay, so objective means something that is based on truth. right? Okay, let's...
In, as in application. So, like, let's say, like, is the issue here that it's not in a specific context and it's general, that's why it's subjective? Because, I mean, like you said, like, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, in the day of adversity, like, there are situations in which this is true in the context, but...
Yeah, but subjective? It's not also true in the days of adversity. God has appointed it. Right? So theology tells us there are four things, at least four things that brings about adversity. Okay? One, God himself. God can bring about adversity, especially with reference to judgment. The judgment, he will bring adversity, he will bring problems into people's life. The people of Israel, they went through adversity. Why? Because God brought about curses upon them. So God can bring about adversity on people as a form of judgment, which he will in the book of Revelation upon this world. The world will go through great tribulation. So it can be from God. Right? Two, it can be from self. You bring it upon yourself. You bring your own problems upon yourself. Difficulty, adversity. You cause it. Three, it can be from Satan. Right? Job. Okay? Job told God, you know, let me bring adversity upon him. He will curse you. Okay? Number four. What is number four? What's number four? Huh? Sorry? Okay. Others. Like what? Like what? For example, global warming. Right? You look at the world today. There was this video going around about this Indian village, and then you see this mud slide coming down upon a small town. And the whole town, part of it was white. A lot of people died. So there's also this part where we really don't know who is it from. What's the cause? We really don't know. Sometimes things just happen. Right? Unexpected things happen. And we really don't know. You can't blame God. You can't blame Satan. You can't really don't know at the end of the day how to see all these things.
Okay. Yeah. So in going back to the question, since it is true in some context that God does appoint adversity, yes. So what makes this subjective? You get what I'm saying? So it is objective in context, but...
But it's not totally true.
So it's the issue. Yeah, so it's the issue. But it is in a context. So is the issue that it's not in a context, like that is general, that's why it's subjective?
So that's why you cannot make such a sweeping statement. The problem is that he's making this statement, but he's not qualifying it.
So why it's subjective is because it's not qualified.
Yeah. I mean, he does not put in all the other consideration. He's just making one statement, which is not totally true. Correct?
Okay. So in the going back to like when we
So that's why it's subjective thinking. Because subjective, he's thinking it according to how he sees it.
Okay. So going back to when we share our own experiences, yeah. Right? That is within a specific context.
Yes.
So when we share, it's not like we are saying, oh, this is true in every context. This is what, like, if you want to share with somebody what God has done for you in your life.
And what you're sharing is the truth.
Mm.
A truth that, okay, when you pray and you seek the Lord diligently, He will reward you. Right? Then people say, okay, you know, I sought the Lord heard my prayer. Fine. That's something worth sharing.
So in our case, because most of the time when we share experiences, it's personal, right? Within the context.
Yeah.
So what then makes
So that's why before it becomes so subjective reasoning without truth, you end up with problems. But first, if you have objective truths, and based on that, you make it subjective, yes. So the subject is personal, right? But there must be objective truth first. That's why I begin with this. That's why I call this the root problem. If your theology is wrong, then you end up with subjective reasoning, meaning personal more than anything else. And then you also include reasoning. You end up with problems with understanding. You follow? Sure, at the end it's still subjective, but your subjective reasoning must come, or rather personal, experience, partly is also experience, must have the objectivity first. Here the problem is that these three things add to this problem of coming up with statements that are wrong. Right? Okay. Seal, you want to say something? How? Lorraine?
Issue is just whether what you are saying is grounded in truth, lah.
Yeah. Right?
So the subjective objective distinction is actually not the problem here, right?
Yeah, sure. Okay. If you want to talk about it, but because it is included in Solomon's subjective reasoning, that becomes a problem itself. Do you understand?
It's because the issue is that he has said things that are not grounded in truth, and therefore his subjective view is not one that we should adopt.
So that's why I've included it as part of the problem, is because he has not thought through it carefully. Okay? And his subjective reasoning is also part of the problem.
Okay, so how is subjective reasoning different from the...
So when you end up with subjective reasoning, which is a problem, is you end up with, this is my experience, this is how I see it, it is very personal, I assume certain things, so that's my subjective reasoning. And it's wrong. It's false reasoning.
Yeah, so that's without the truth part. So with subjective reasoning,
even
which
if,
is guided by truth.
But even if you have truth, but it's subjective reasoning, if it's wrong, if it's a wrong kind of reasoning, you also end up with problems. Right? Okay, like for example, prayer. Right? Okay, say for example, I had this problem last time. I always think, okay, wow, exam time coming, I better be good. And I'm going to pray. I better be good and I better pray. Then God will hear my prayer. Precisely. But it's my thinking. It's my way of analyzing the idea that God hear my prayer. Health and wealth gospel. You understand? It's still subjective thinking, what? It's still my subjective way of reasoning, which is wrong.
But then that's not grounded in truth, right? So that's like not... As in the main issue is that it's not grounded in truth. Like objective truth, that's why the issues come. So it's... Yeah, essentially subjective reasoning bare by itself without any semblance of objective truth. It'll just be wrong, lah.
But if your subjective reasoning, the way you reason is wrong... The way you reason is wrong. It can also, right? It's the way you reason can be wrong, right?
How can somebody have a right theology of God, but then because of their subjective reasoning, then the conclusion is wrong?
Okay, give me an example.
No,
truth.
because I think that's what we're
I know, we're I understand, to, I understand.
Yeah, so we're trying to differentiate, or rather we think now that if you have wrong theology of God, therefore whatever you try to reason is all wrong already.
Sure.
But then now it seems like there are two different root problems. One is that standalone subjective reasoning. So does that mean that we can have a right theology of God, but then as we reason, like we look at our own experience, but we apply it wrongly, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so like for example, your prayer thing is that, okay, the right theology is that, but actually it's wrong, but the right theology is that God will listen to me, but then actually there's also a wrong theology of that God will listen to me if I'm good. That's why the subjective reasoning is wrong, right?
Yeah, so
then
okay.
That still boil down to that actually we still have a wrong theology of God. That's why we can subjectively reason until that.
Are you also trying to say that subjective reasoning is always right?
No, I think we're trying to understand the difference between the two. Like,
answer my question. Subjective reasoning is always right?
Yeah.
Subjective reasoning is your personal own way of reasoning.
Yeah, so I think in my head, how I see is that theology of God is on top, and then not separately, what comes under it as a result of your wrong theology, then whatever you reason is wrong.
It's always wrong, right?
Yeah.
But what if subjective reasoning, the way you reason, is also wrong?
Is it
Solomon?
But he didn't have a yeah.
Sorry? His theology is wrong. His reasoning is also wrong. Right.
So how do we differentiate? Because now it seems that the subjective reasoning is wrong because
the
theology is wrong.
Sure.
Is there a situation where theology is wrong?
Okay, I mean, if you want to make it easier, then just we focus on the theology of God. But I just want to say that subjective reasoning has its own problems too. Because it's the way you think, it's the way you reason things out, isn't it? It's how you reason. That sometimes people can end up with problems too. If you just say, okay, truth, I agree with you. If it's truth, then everything else follows is problem. But if you are just going to say that subjective reasoning is always right, I totally disagree. You follow? Because the way you reason is also, you can end up with problems too. Which is what I'm trying to say. Right? Because there are many ways of reasoning. You can reason in a certain way. You can inductive reasoning. You can deductive reasoning. There are so many ways to reason. And sometimes the way you reason is also wrong. All right? Yeah, go ahead.
Pastor Mitch, could another way of seeing it be like we share the objective truths in the context of our personal experience? So it's like we match the truths from the word with our personal experience, but we are not like adding our own reasoning to it.
Yeah, okay, like for example, you look at a truth, right? The truth tells you we are supposed to live for the Lord. Here's a verse, right? Man always ought to pray and not lose heart. Okay? Now, you take away the context. And you can say, you know what? Even when I'm wrong, I should just pray. So everything you go through, just pray. Just pray. The truth is there. I just pray. Right? God will work it out for you. So you imbue meaning to the text. Yeah, okay. You can still say it comes back to your theology of God. But what I'm trying to say is that there are several ways of reasoning, and sometimes the way you reason is also wrong. Which is also part of Solomon's problem. So the way we reason is very often one where it... You see, when we look at the scripture, what we are trying to do is what we call... let me just clarify. Inductive reasoning is to imbue meaning. Deductive reasoning is to draw the meaning. right? Yeah, so a lot of people do inductive reasoning. They imbue meaning to the verse. You follow? So I imbue meaning to it, that's wrong reasoning. That's one way of reasoning. So deductive is always, okay, I draw the meaning out from the scriptures. Yeah.
I still have to link the truth to the context of my life, right? So then, what reasoning is that?
Okay, then that's where your context of the passage must align with the context of your life. Okay, so here is a principle. I take the principle, I apply it with reference to the same context of life. And that's where the truth applies. But if I take the truth, but I don't apply it correctly, I can understand the truth. But if I don't apply it correctly, or I imbue meaning to it, that's wrong in itself. Follow? Oh, guys, you're very quiet today. How, Lorraine? Can not? Are we agreement or disagreement? Okay, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. If you sort out your truths, everything, then everything else will fall into place, right? But sometimes, you see, so what I'm trying to say is that there are times when people can still end up with the wrong reasoning. You can have a truth, you can understand it, but the way you reason can also end up with problems. Correct? No? Sure. So your reasoning is totally sound. No. So that's the thing, you see. So that's the thing. A lot of times we think that our reasoning is right. No. There are times when your reasoning is wrong too. That's what I'm trying to say. That means we got to end up learning how to reason well from the scriptures correctly. How you apply the scripture is also very important. Yeah, let him...
Sorry, just to clarify before he goes on. So, is it correct to say that subjective reasoning is always wrong?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that for Solomon, yes. But I'm not saying that subjective reasoning is wrong all the time. There are times when people can end up with wrong reasoning. There are times when subjective reasoning is correct, when you do it correctly. That's what I'm trying to say.
So just now you were saying about deductive reasoning and like context and everything. That is also a form of subjective reasoning?
That is, to me, more, you know, objective reasoning. You're supposed to reason in the right way. But for people, sometimes they end up with, you know, that as the way they think, which is subjective, right?
Say again.
So like, for example, inductive reasoning. That means I imbue meaning to the text. Like a lot of charismatic, that's what they do. They take a verse and then they imbue meaning to it. That's wrong reasoning.
So if I don't do that, and then I do deductive.
Yeah. Then that's the correct way of reasoning from the scriptures.
So is that that's not subjective.
So that's the right way of reasoning, and we put it personally, that's how we do it. That becomes your subjective way of reasoning. Correct?
So there's the right subjective and wrong subjective
reasoning. Yeah, absolutely. So subjective is your personal, it's just basically your personal way of doing it. But the way you reason can be wrong. And you make it subjective. Okay. Yeah, doctor, are you all confused?
No,
sorry, because it just came to me that because it sounds that any kind of reasoning that we have is subjective. Like, as long as it comes from ourselves, then it will be innately subjective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
And then...
Personal, lah. In other words, yeah, it's personal. It's your personal way of reasoning.
So should number two not be, like, subjective reasoning? It should just be, like, reasoning. Because like, reasoning... Like,
it should be objective reasoning. Is that what you're trying to say?
That the root problem is not, like, subjective reasoning per se, but it's, like, we have to be careful and wary of how we reason. Yeah.
Okay. But why I put subjective is because that was the problem with reference to Solomon, right? It's his subjective way of reasoning. It's a wrong personal way of reasoning. Then it'll be easier for everyone. That's fine. Yeah, okay. Let's put it as wrong personal reasoning. Ken, sure.
Don't have a lot of time to make comments, but maybe I was just thinking about the examples you gave on theology. I think a lot of things that the examples you raised, they were clearly right theology in the Bible. And the examples you raised were all about a lot to do with prayer. Yeah, but actually there are many areas of life as I think about my life decisions. And I don't want to go into details. But,
sure.
Not everything is so explicitly covered by the theology of God.
Mm.
Yeah, there's some decisions in our life where you just have to reason with the wisdom either the Lord gives or with wisdom than the pastors and the older ones.
Sure.
Yeah. So I what I'm trying to say is that I get where you're coming from when you say, like, the reasoning part, because we live in the realm of the reasoning. We don't just live in the realm
sure.
of theology.
Sure.
Many other areas in life where your reasoning is faulty. Lah. Yeah, I guess that's just where I'm...
Yeah. Thinking, yeah. Basically, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to cut hair. I mean, you know, split hairs here. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that there is this wrong personal way, erroneous way of thinking and reasoning. Right? And I think that's something that Solomon had. And that's where he ended up with problems. So it's not just theology, it's the way we think too. It's the way we're reasoning, which I identify as subjective reasoning. Okay? Ken? Clear? Okay, let's end on a good note. So, takeaway one. Let's be careful of a defective theology of God. Wrong reasoning, subjective thinking, thinking based on experience only, anecdotal approach towards God. Right? Developing a correct theology of God. The need to bring in the scriptures, drawing reasoning and conclusion based on truths. Okay? And then seeing God really for He is a God who can change the perverse. If He is included in their lives, God's involvement in the day of prosperity and adversity. We got to work that one out carefully. Ken? Okay, are you all with me? Okay, good. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and ask that You will help us, Lord, to be able to see things in its right perspective. Help us to really learn how to work out a proper theology of You. To be able to see You for who You are and be able to apply that into our life. We pray also that You will help us to reason well, to have an objective way of reasoning. We pray, dear Lord, that You will be able, Lord, to help us to apply these things and be able to relate to You correctly. We ask for Your blessing and bless this gift as we give this offering to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.